It's all right.
It's time for Get the Lack Scoop, a podcast bringing you all the people and stuff you should know in the game of lacrosse. We take lack seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join hosts Big Dog and Jay Bird and the biggest names in the game. Brought to you by J. McMahon Lacrosse. That's JML, skills, mindset, and lax IQ training.
Ron Douglish, the Big Dog, was a collegiate football and lacrosse player at Brown. He was also an assistant lacrosse coach and the executive director of the Sports Foundation.
And Jay McMahon, the Jaybird, a three-time All-American midfielder at Brown. He was a captain of the U.S. Junior National Team and is the founder of JML. And joining us in the studio, Steve Grisolfi, whose collegiate lacrosse career statistics equals one goal against Dartmouth. JML, skills, mindset, and lax IQ training, helping the next generation of lacrosse players get to the next level. So today, friends, we're pleased to have two very special guests that just popped onto our screen, Tom and Lynn Dwyer. Yes, they are husband and wife, and they are both former Division I lacrosse players at Harvard and Brown. And of course, as is one of the themes of our show, the relationships in the game, they met through the game of lacrosse. Now, Lynn was an outstanding player and was part of the legendary 1990 Harvard team that won the Ivy title and went on to claim the national championship. Jay, that was the highest achievement in the sport back at that time, a national championship.
And it still is.
Well, you know, the pro game today, Jay, you could argue that there are different levels of achievement. But we digress, Jay. Back to Tom. Now, Tom was a very good player, consistent presence on the Brown midfield for 4 years under legendary coach Dominic Stargia. Played a key role in helping Brown secure its first ever NCAA playoff win at UMass, also in 1990.
To be overlooked. I mean, that's legendary in my mind.
We were winning a nice playoff game while Lynn was off winning a national championship. But yes, it was meaningful.
I was a nice little player, someone said.
Tom, please.
He's on the first midfield with me as a senior. I remember it.
Tom, we haven't introduced you yet, so please, let us finish.
Let's not break protocol.
Now, while Tom and his Brown teams came very close, unfortunately, he never won a championship, ever.
Unlike me and Ron, we're a year behind him, so the next year we did win the Ivy championship.
It is interesting, though, that as soon as Tom left, we did win an Ivy championship. I don't think those two facts are connected. But look, Tom was a tremendous player, and while not a national champion, someone we respect deeply.
Now, Tom, even though he's from Maryland, Mary's High School.
Yep, Maryland. Very good player.
And Lynn?
Not from Long Island.
Not from Long Island.
Okay.
From Connecticut. Not from Maryland, though, either. Connecticut.
All right, Jay, can we get through this, please?
Go right ahead.
Now, beyond their own playing careers, Tom and Lynn were active in building the girls' game in suburban Philadelphia, which we know has become a hot lacrosse. And as we've established here, I think so far, Jay, that thanks largely to Lynn's athletic genes, they have two daughters, both playing Division I sports at Cornell up in Ithaca. One a lacrosse player, one a hockey player. Their youngest and other very talented athletes in the thick of the college recruiting process as we speak. And so, Jay, I know we're looking forward to exploring their lacrosse journey and getting really two well-informed parent perspectives on navigating the athletic journey of our kids from the youth level to college recruiting and beyond. So, Tom and Lynn, we are very excited to welcome you to Get the Inside Scoop.
Absolutely. It is Get the Lack Scoop, Ron. Let's not confuse our listeners.
Well, Jerry, it is an early episode.
Excited to have them here. Let's just say that much. Thank you, Ron. I'll take over. Tom and Lynn, great to have you guys. This is exciting. Now, we're going to start off our questions just talking about the foundation, when it all began. How did you guys each get your start in lacrosse?
Hi, thanks so much for having us. This is a pleasure.
Great.
I actually started playing lacrosse in 10th grade because we didn't have it in the Hartford area when I was in high school. And so I played a lot of other sports, which I believe helped me with my learning lacrosse. I played field hockey, basketball, and softball through 6th through 9th grade. And then I started lacrosse in 10th, went to Loomis Chafee High School, had great coaches there, a lot of fun.
Tom, when did you get your start?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 5 or 6. You know, I was from Annapolis, and kids were walking around the neighborhood with lacrosse sticks when I was very young. And so I gravitated to the game and played for the Green Hornets, legendary youth club in Annapolis, Maryland. Then I played and ended up transferring to St. Mary's, where I met the esteemed Mr. Douglas. And yeah, so I ended up playing St. Mary's. Also played a lot of club ice hockey, which I think helped my loss quite a bit. You know, I know you guys are doing a lot of skills and drills and new techniques, but I think my ice hockey was really a small area game that kind of helped my lacrosse, thinking quick, things moving quick. And I didn't realize it at the time, but now the small area games are a big part of lacrosse development curriculums. And I think I kind of benefited from that, being in small areas on the ice hockey rink. And right. When you get to the field, it was a little bit easier in some ways.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I really thought that was the case for Oliver Marty. And then a guy I played with in high school, Scott Hiller, they both played hockey and were very good at hockey. And they said it really helped them develop their handle inside and be able to finish well and things like that. They were great in tight corners.
Hey, Tom, you know, one of the things that we're focused on in this podcast, beyond the skills and the drills and the wins and the memories, is there seems to be so many incredible relationships that are formed through this game. And it really is a special community. And I know that's particularly important for you and Lynn. So will you tell us how you and Lynn first met?
Sure. Well, it was, I guess, May of 1990. And we beat UMass in a playoff game during the week and got sent to Syracuse to play the Gates. It was their last game in the Dome. We hung in there, but we were kind of sent to slaughter. I think everybody was that year. It was really Cuse and everybody else. But we flew back to Boston, and that year, the women's tournament was a few weeks ahead of the men's. So Harvard was flying back from Princeton, where they had just beaten Maryland to win the national championship. And our teams passed each other in the concourse of Logan Airport in Boston.
So it was winner and loser.
Winners passing. And losers. And
I get it.
The Harvard women had their trophy prominently displayed kind of in our faces. And you know, that was the first time we really crossed paths. And a few months later, we met. We both took jobs coaching lacrosse in England, and we met formally, and it kind of went from there.
And you didn't hold it against her for sticking that trophy in your face.
No, it was all respect, you know? It was all respect.
Lynn, tell us about that program in England where you guys first met.
So it was about 15 of us, and everyone was associated with a club in England. And we had one guy in Scotland and one in Wales, and everybody coached lacrosse at their club. And also we coached in schools in the surrounding area. So it was generally 10-year-olds. We would go to gym class at school and teach them how to play lacrosse. So a couple funny things is they would wear shorts even when it was like 25 degrees and raining. Oh my God. They wore their gym clothes and took it seriously. But it was really fun. We used, I don't know what they call the sticks now, but we called them pop sticks or STX sticks. It had a plastic pocket. The whole head was plastic. Right. And so we would use that. So if somebody, you know, it was a softer ball too. So they, you know, kids wouldn't get hurt, but it was a lot of fun and just trying to kind of at a grassroots level, get lacrosse into the communities.
So Jay, we have global ambassadors of the game of lacrosse with us today.
We are blessed.
If we transition to JML and
let's do that. We'll get into a little bit of the mindset. We'll do a mindset minute here. And this is brought to us by Dr. Rob Gilbert. He's our professor of sports psychology. The Success Hotline is a great resource for players and parents to get the right mindset on sports performance and general performance in life. The phone number for that, this is free, is 973-743-4690. That's 973-743-4690. Or you can get it online. It's called thesuccesshotline.com. And it's hosted by Ironclad. And I've been using it for my players for many years. But today's Mindset Minute is talent versus effort. And one of the things Dr. Gilbert talks about a lot, since he's been teaching school for all these years as a professor, So that college is not an intelligence test. It is a diligence test. He says there's not one piece of information that's hard to grasp in college, which is true, and that anyone can understand it, but it is time consuming. And he talks about how our potential is unlimited as long as we get ourselves the right opportunity to sit down and do the work in this case, and then also using strategies that can help you compress time and get through things more quickly. For example, for potential, he often points out the fact that how many languages could a human being actually learn? All of them. Okay, and there's scientific research to prove this. There's over 7,000 languages on the planet Earth, and every human being could learn each and every one of them at the same time, which is amazing. So we've got unlimited potential. And now how do we apply that to lacrosse? So with lacrosse, same thing. If we need to learn the right skills, we need to learn the right level of knowledge of the game. It's a matter of putting the time in. And one of the things that can help things go more quickly is something like J. McMahon Lacrosse, where we're going to help point your child in the right direction. And J. McMahon Lacrosse is not the only one. Fortunately, there are many skills training coaches out there. But what a skills trainer can do for your child is help get them on the right path and lead them in the right direction to ensure that they're focusing on what's most important, help them eliminate bad habits, and help them be as effective as they possibly could be. And to finish up with that, Dr. Rob Gilbert has these four keys to success, and we'll go over those and we'll wrap it up. You know, number one is decide where you want to go. Number two is take an honest assessment to determine exactly where you are now. Number three, figure out how you're going to get from where you are to where you want to go. And the best way to do that, in my opinion, is with a skills trainer, or you could have a coach who's very good. You want to basically be learning from the best. The other thing that we recommend at JML and for any player is to spend a lot of time watching lacrosse, high level D1, D2, D3 lacrosse, and pro lacrosse. And that will definitely help you get to where you want to go. And number four is just do it. So those are the four tips that Dr. Rob Gilbert recommends, and I've used them myself. They work extremely well. Now we'll do a skill of the week. At J. McMahon Lacrosse, we teach boys and girls starting from age 12 and up, and I train some college players too. So real basic. In general, J. McMahon Lacrosse is geared to get players from intermediate to the advanced level and from the advanced to the elite, but you got to start with basics. So today's video that we'll link underneath is literally just on the best form for passing. I was at a camp that my son was attending run by Mark Millen, who's a great trainer in the Maryland area. He's a Long Island guy, transplanted down to Maryland. But he was talking about having that proper throwing motion. So, Jay,
can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
So he grew up in Long Island, and then as he got older and wiser, he moved to Maryland. Is that?
Perhaps.
I just want to be clear here that, and for our listeners, you will get a little Maryland, Long Island, old school assessment of where the best lacrosse has been played.
Right. And his son is one of the top recruits coming out of Maryland, but you wonder if he wasn't trained by his dad, one of the best all time from Long Island, if he would be as good as he is. Just makes you wonder. But thank you, Ron. Thank you. And so the skill is literally the right throwing motion. You'll see this on the video. It's about a 3-minute video. All right. And you want to have that consistent throwing motion. I always tell my players too. Paul Rabel at a coach's clinic, and he said you want to think about your shot as a very hard pass. So you want to have the same throwing motion with your pass as you have with your shot. You want to be short and concise. Mark Millen calls it a short throwing motion. And for accuracy, he calls it you'd have your release point. All right. So you're going to point right to your target. And we cover it very well in the video, but that'll be linked. And I hope you get a chance to check that out. It'll be helpful for your son or daughter. All right. So Jay, Ron, are we ready for our guest? Oh, go ahead. Did you have a question, Ron?
No, Jay, I don't have a question. I have a comment, Jay. I'd like to reinforce my job as your co-host is to reinforce some of the key points that I heard, Jay.
Okay.
And to tie them to incredible stories of success.
Well, go ahead and do that.
I happened.
What are you waiting for?
I happened to just see a piece on Michael Jordan where someone asked him what was the key to his success. And Jay, he pointed right to something you said, that he woke up every day deciding that he was going to outwork everyone, that no one was going to put in more effort than him. And as you may know, Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team. So not everybody who becomes the best at what they do just wakes up with incredible levels of talent. It always takes effort.
Exactly. And running Rob Gilbert with that talent versus effort piece, he talks about that Michael Jordan story and said a lot of people don't know that Jordan or know that he did get cut, but they don't know that his coach said to him, I will meet you every day at 7 o'clock in the morning and we'll train for an hour. Might have been 6 o'clock in the morning, probably was. And he did that with him for a year. And the coach instilled in him, if you work harder than everybody, you will be better than everybody. So good stuff.
And Jay, as you know, my day job's in education. And one of the things I worry about with kids today is the sense of resilience. And I really love that honest assessment piece, right? You're never going to get better in the age of everybody gets an award and everybody gets a medal. This is about competition. And there are always going to be some person, some team that's better than you. And you've got to always be willing to assess, where do I need to get better? And so I think those are two big key takeaways. And I love also that you're focusing on the mental aspect of the game as well as the physical. It's both of those things that makes the great player.
Right. Absolutely. Thanks for that encouragement, Ron. Very unusual. Jay, it feels kind of strange.
Well, Jay, that is my role here on Get the Lex Scoop.
Beautiful. Okay, let's bring in our guests. They've been waiting very patiently.
Let's do that, Jay. Enough of us.
Yes.
Lynn, I seem to recall a story that at your and Tom's wedding, kids who were coming to the wedding were encouraged to pack their sticks. Why would that be, Lynn?
Well, we ended up having a lacrosse game, an entire full field game, the day of our wedding, prior to the wedding.
That is amazing.
And it was Team Frangioni against Team Dwyer, and you can guess which team won.
I made a very strategic mistake. I picked one of Lynn's teammates, Jenny Walser, who was a fabulous player on that team, scored the winning goal in the championship game. And then I picked Rich Toohey, my buddy, who was All-American at Brown, who you guys know. And I didn't realize that they were going to be flirting with each other during the game.
Right.
Totally distracted each other. So basically nullified each other. And my two of my top draft picks basically were ineffective during the game. And that's the story.
And I'd say the unsung MD of our team was actually Tate, who played goalie.
Matthew Taylor. Chapman, who played goalie.
Jay, yeah. It seems like Tom might want to use that hotline. I hear a lot of excuses coming from Tom. Might want to change his mental mindset, Jay, a little bit.
Yeah. I need to change my mindset.
Need some serious work. Need more than a minute. There's a mindset hour he does later in the day. I'll give you that line later. Let's turn towards your daughters and their athletic experiences. So, Tom, let us know how you and Lynn approached youth athletics. And looking back on that, would you have any advice for the parents today?
I think it starts with, we got so much out of sports, just all the life lessons. I feel like you do better in school when you're playing sports, and all the mindset lessons you learn, the focus, the effort, and then also the relationships that you get. I mean, look at us, all of us here 30 some years later. I met my wife through lacrosse. You know, that's just been incredible for us.
Right. And then, this is two, Tom, we didn't mention, is a very successful attorney. Lynn has an MBA from the Wharton School of Business. He's in healthcare administration. So these are people who, you know, didn't lounge in life, but they found lacrosse was so valuable that they wanted to pass it on to their daughters.
Yeah. So, you know, we got so much out of it, like I was saying, and I think we wanted to have our girls have that opportunity. When our girls became 5 or 6, which is when I started playing, and in our area in Philadelphia, the boys were playing at 5 or 6. The girls didn't start till they were like 7, 8, or 9. So we said, hey, let's see if we can get a little learn to play program going for the girls at 5 or 6, when our oldest was about turn 5. We thought we'd get like 20 kids. We got 200.
Wow.
So that quickly grew. And, you know, although the program that Lynn really started sort of seeded and got all the townships in our area, everyone sort of said, we got to start this at 5 or 6 for the girls, because their only other option was to like play soccer again in another season of play fall soccer, then play spring soccer. So I think there was a lot of pent up interest and we hit it at the right time. And so our girls really took to it. Our older daughter a little bit later. She sort of bloomed a little bit later, but the younger ones took to the sports and the lacrosse very quickly. And then all of a sudden they're meeting kids, they have friends in the sports, great teammates. You meet parents, as you guys know, your social life sometimes becomes intertwined with the parents that you meet through the sports. And, you know, we're sitting here in Ithaca having watched a hockey game last night. Our older daughter plays lacrosse here. So, you know, we're still on this journey 15 some years later with the kids' sports.
That's great. Now, Lynn, I know both your daughters are very good hockey and lacrosse players. And what's your perspective? You touched on it a little bit earlier, but want to hear more about your perspective on kids playing multiple sports versus this pressure that many kids seem to face to specialize into one sport at an early age.
I mean, early on, we both had the philosophy, because we did, of playing multiple sports. So as much as our kids could do that, we thought it was essential for them to be a good, well-rounded athlete. And I think there's even a lot of research, which Tom mostly did the research, but it just helps for people to be a well-rounded athlete, use different muscle groups, different parts of their bodies, especially starting young to do that. And then that helps their lacrosse game.
That's great.
Hey, Tom, talk about that research. Like, what did you find beyond just like, hey, this is what we did, and so we think this is great for our kids? What did you find?
I think it started with Lynn played field hockey and lacrosse at Harvard. She actually was recruited for field hockey primarily. I played hockey and lacrosse at Brown. So it started there. I don't think the research is hard to find. I think there was one bit of research, which is, I think, is a very interesting end, where they say if you took identical, one just played lacrosse from when they're six till they're 17, and the other played soccer, basketball, lacrosse just in the spring season from when they're six till when they're 13. When they're both 13, the one that just played lacrosse will be a better lacrosse player. But if the one that was playing three sports till they're 13 started playing lacrosse, that one will be the better player at 17, just because of the broader athletic situations they've been in. I also think playing multiple sports, you're on different teams, you associate, you have different friendships, you have different dealings with coaches, and you have to learn how to deal with different coaches and different outlooks, and you learn different good and bad philosophies, and you know, get over the hurdles, learn from the great, great coaching. So I think that aspect is kind of overlooked a little bit too. So I think until they're 13 or 14, they should play multiple sports. It gets hard these days to do that because the sports just go all year round. Every sport goes all year round now. So it gets very hard to do that. And I think now, instead of having like two sports, as you get to be like 11 or 12, you really have to have a primary sport and sort of a secondary sport almost to make it work. Because if not, you're going to be missing half of one sport. Maybe you have to play at a lower level in your secondary sport, not the highest level, or it just becomes way too difficult, especially on the parents.
So transitioning from the youth and the club, and I love the thinking around keeping kids involved in multiple sports when they're young, let's transition to the college recruiting process. Can each of you maybe reflect on what was the biggest difference you each saw from when you all were going through the college recruiting process to what you saw with your two daughters who are now at Cornell? And I know you've got another one who's in that process right now. So what are the biggest differences you saw in the recruiting process?
To hear the answer to that intriguing question, please tune in next week as we continue with the second of our two-part series with Tom and Lynn Dwyer, entitled Married to Lacrosse. And until we meet again, here's to hoping you find the twine. We're signing off here at the Get the Lax Scoop. Thanks again so much, Tom and Lynn.
Thank you.
Ron and Steve, we will see you the next time. Signing off now.
Thank you.